Good morning, I'm Natalie with KQNK. Today is Monday, July 8th. Currently with fair skies, it is 59 degrees. The humidity is 94%. The wind speed is north at 7 miles per hour. The barometric pressure is 30.11 and the dew point is 57 degrees. It's 7:04 and time for Kansas News.
Kansas Information Network News, I'm Jen Austin. Crews will begin resurfacing work on U.S. Highway 83 in Decatur and Sheridan counties today. The mill and overlay work will begin just north of Kansas Highway 383's junction and go for 9.5 miles. Traffic will be controlled by flaggers and a pilot car. A man and woman are safe and sound after being rescued from a cave in Kansas City. Brandon Dixon has more.
Firefighters say the two people got lost in a cave for 5 hours Saturday night off Coal Mine Road near Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. They reportedly wandered around until they could get a signal to call 911 early Sunday morning. Rescuers used ropes to reach the victims about 2,500 feet into the cave system. Crews got both out unharmed. I'm Brandon Dixon.
A former Emporia leader has passed away. The city of Emporia announced the death of longtime city commissioner and former mayor Danny Geifer, who passed away at his home on July 6th. He was sworn into the Emporia City Commission in 2013. This is Kansas Information Network News.
With today's inflation straining your budget, your Kansas Farm Bureau membership can help keep more money in your pocket. Save up to 75% off preferred home and office products with Office Depot. Special package pricing with Lifeline screenings. Exclusive savings on post-frame buildings with QSI. And join the Kansans who've switched to Kansas Farm Bureau health plans. And enjoy significant savings on nationwide medical health care coverage. Join today. For a full list of benefits, visit kfb.org/benefits.
How was your drive to school?
Let me tell you, I had to get my iced coffee first. I just can't seem to put it down. My favorite rapper just announced a tour. My phone was buzzing like crazy. I'm so excited. I had to text all my friends right then to talk about it. Then someone started calling me and...
Let's try that again.
I turned my phone off right away. I never drive distracted.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Good morning, I'm Natalie Hadley with your KQNK News, brought to you by Edward Jones Investments. Philip Eisenhagen is your financial advisor here in Norton. For the first time since 2016, there will be four Kansas City Royals representatives at the Midsummer Classic, as after one of the hottest starts in recent franchise history, the Royals will send two position players and two pitchers to compete for the American League. On the pitching staff, the Kansas City 1-2 punch of Cole Reagans and Seth Lugo were both selected to play in their first All-Star games. Lugo already has a career-best 11 wins to go along with his career-low ERA of 2.21 at this point. And Reagans will return to his prior team's home stadium to compete in the All-Star game after etching a 3.28 ERA to this point, as well as a career-high 134 strikeouts. On the other side of the plate, the Royals will send young star Bobby Witt Jr. to his first All-Star game, as well as team captain Salvador Perez to his ninth. The Royals' newfound star in Witt Jr. has tallied 119 hits, the most in the entire Major League Baseball, all while sitting top 10 in categories such as stolen bases, RBIs, and doubles. This year's All-Star game will be hosted in Arlington, Texas at Globe Life Field on July 16th at 7 p.m. Governor Kelly recently announced that $4.1 million in Community Service Program, or CSP, tax credits have been awarded to support the fundraising efforts of 26 nonprofit organizations across Kansas. And these funds will enhance local access to quality child care, health care, education, arts, and housing services. Governor Kelly said these tax credits are vital to ensure Kansas's nonprofit organizations have the necessary resources to positively impact communities across Kansas. She said community service program tax credits are a valuable tool that encourages investment and engagement in local nonprofits. Established in 1994, CSP provides substantial tax incentives to donors with a 70% tax credit available for contributions in rural communities of populations less than 15,000 and a 50% tax credit in larger communities, and the credits are a direct deduction from the donor's state tax obligation. Each project addresses unique community needs, from modernizing infrastructures to enhancing cultural and recreational resources. And the award projects include initiatives such as replacing city pool facilities, expanding and renovating community libraries, historic preservation efforts, and expanding arts facilities and senior care services. The awardees were selected through a competitive score-based process, and out of 54 applications requesting over $9.8 million in tax credits, 26 projects were chosen. The Kansas Department of Agriculture's Division of Conservation, or KDA-DOC, is pleased to announce the availability of funds in the form of cost-share assistance and incentive payments to assist commercial feedlots and dairy operations with livestock water efficiency technology. The Kansas Livestock Water Efficiency Pilot Project is part of the state's ongoing effort to encourage water conservation and to seek solutions for water challenges in the state. This initiative is designed to enhance and or upgrade current large-scale livestock watering systems in commercial feedlots and dairies by providing cost-share assistance for practices such as upgrading to high-efficiency livestock waterers and water recycling systems. The KDA-DOC will accept applications through the close of business on Wednesday, July 31, 2024. Equipment purchases and subscriptions made before the application approval by the KDA-DOC are not eligible for this initiative, and eligible applications must hold a current livestock water right with the state of Kansas. Funding is provided through appropriation from the State Water Plan Fund, and the program is administered by the KDA-DOC in consultation with the State Conservation Commission. Applications for this irrigation technology cost-share funding must be made through the KDA-DOC, and to find more information about the project, including the application and more details about funding eligibility, you can visit agriculture.ks.gov/DOC livestock water. In Nebraska news, according to a news release, a federal judge sentenced 31-year-old Joseph Luis Garcia of Kearney to 4 years in prison for being a prohibited person in possession of ammunition. Officials reported that Garcia was pulled over in February of 2022 in Buffalo County, and after a police search, he admitted he had methamphetamine in his pocket. Police also found a digital scale, glass pipe, and a black bag where police found ammunition for a handgun. Garcia had previously been prohibited from possessing firearms or ammunition due to prior convictions for felony offenses. The case was investigated by Homeland Security Investigations, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives, the Nebraska State Patrol, and the Kearney Police Department. After Garcia's release from prison, he will begin a 3-year term of supervised release. The Adams County Justice Center in Hastings cut the ribbon on their new facility back on April 16th. However, opening delays for the Adams County Jail are causing frustrations for people involved in the years-long project. Almost 3 months later, the jail is still experiencing setbacks with multiple problems across the entire building and hasn't allowed inmates to move to the new location. According to jail staff, door locks across the jail experienced major malfunctions, causing doors to be shown as closed when they were actually open. That hurdle has since been cleared, but according to county commissioners, weather is the latest issue that's causing problems at the jail, as Adams County Commissioner Michael Stromer said they are the lightning rod right now out there, and they've taken some big lightning strikes. Stromer said they've had some issues with their rooftop units, and they're currently testing a couple of those now. Commissioner Stromer said the door locks were the biggest issue, so it's just the small things standing in the way now, including training staff. He's hoping to receive an inspection from the State Jail Standards Commission sometime this week, and if all goes as planned, the opening date could be as soon as the end of the month. Court documents show that at around 2 p.m. on Wednesday, Lincoln Fire and Rescue responded to a fire at a home near Southwest 16th and West South Streets, and after firefighters put the blaze out, which caused around $140,000 in damage, two cats were found dead at the scene, another cat was rescued, and one cat was missing. Police said 31-year-old Michaela Heston started the fire during a mental health crisis, and according to an arrest affidavit, she tried setting a Bible on fire, but it didn't work. So she then lit a bedsheet on fire in four different spots. Investigators found Heston with a lighter and a Bible with burn marks, and she was arrested on Thursday for suspicion of second-degree arson. I'll be back with more in just a moment.
Is your financial advisor proactive or reactive? Hi, I'm Philip Eisenhagen, your Norton Edward Jones financial advisor. Regardless of what the market is doing, I'll stay in touch. Even when the market is down, we'll call you up. That's one way we continue to emphasize our relationship and understand your individual financial needs. Contact me today, 785-877-3373. That's 877-3373. Proactive, not reactive. That's how Edward Jones makes sense of investing. Edward Jones, member SIPC.
According to the unofficial minutes of the Norton City Council meeting that was held on Wednesday, July 3rd, the Norton City Council met in regular session at 5:30 p.m. with Council President Dennis Gelhausen presiding. And the council members present were Jason Jones, Jim Miller, Gerald Jones, Andrew Black, Dennis Gelhausen, and Dale Jacobson, along with others to present business or observe. A motion was made by Dale Jacobson and seconded by Jim Miller to approve the June 19, 2024 City Council meeting minutes, and the motion carried, and there were 11 building permits presented for approval. City Attorney Abigail Horn reported that there was a Supreme Court decision on a camping ordinance at Grant Pass, Oregon, in which the court decided to uphold the statute and code. Horn then compared the city's recently adopted ordinance on public camping to theirs and stated it's good and does not need to be changed. Chief of Police Jay Sharp introduced the new Assistant Chief of Police, Mitchell Lowry, and City Administrator James Maru reported that the signs are up and the curb has been painted on Eisenhower for the parking change. He said the Public Works Department is still working on Washington Street when the weather allows, and in between that project, they are cleaning sewers, sweeping streets, and spraying mosquitoes twice a week. Maru also reported that the electric department has been working on the lights for the go-kart track and a distribution issue on electric line east of town. A written report on water and sewer activities was provided by Water and Sewer Supervisor Ken Anderson, and the Parks Department is moving and mowing and spraying weeds when the weather allows. A motion was made by Andrew Black and seconded by Dale Jacobson to promote Logan Kieswetter to Electric Distribution Supervisor, effective July 7, 2024. And the vote was taken and the motion carried. Gerald Jones suggested a few seating arrangements in the council room for committee meetings, and after discussion, it was decided to leave it up to each committee chair as to where they would like the committee members and other members of the council in attendance to sit. Andrew Black scheduled a joint finance and utility committee meeting for 3:30 p.m. on Monday, July 15th. A motion was made by Gerald Jones and seconded by Dale Jacobson. And after two executive sessions with the city administrator, city clerk, police chief, assistant police chief, city attorney, and pool manager to discuss non-elected personnel, the council resumed regular session at 6:30 p.m. Jason Jones stated that an idea was shared with him on how a different community of similar size has changed their compensation for pool employees and has doubled their staff. And Jason stated that it's too late for this year, but is something that could be looked into for next year. Jason also shared that Donna Lowry approached him about the idea of possibly having a dedicated travel and tourism employee manage the aquatic center during the pool season as an idea to think about down the road. City Attorney Abigail Horn stated that there would be an employment issue since they are two separate organizations, even though the travel and tourism somewhat falls under the city's umbrella. Jason inquired if the information sharing email group could be sent out not by blind carbon copy so that it's known that everyone received the email and information. However, James stated that he set it up to be sent out blind carbon copied in order to avoid a potential KOMA violation. Jason asked for a status update on the emergency sirens, and James said there was a 6 to 8 week lead time on the materials, and they are in week 7, so they should be coming in the next couple of weeks. James said once the materials are here, it will not take long for them to be installed. Jason then asked if there was ever a siren located at the practice football field, and James stated there was not. Jason also brought up the idea of adjusting the time of the third council meeting of the month so that those who also have commitments on the hospital board aren't late to that meeting, though it was decided to take no further action on the idea. A motion was made by Gerald Jones and seconded by Dale Jacobson to increase the manager of the Aquatic Center salary to $20 per hour. The vote was taken and the motion carried. Dale Jacobson reported that he recently spoke with Jason Davis of the Norton Mini Speedway and they would like to withdraw their request to build a shed at the go-kart track. Dale then stated that he was going to schedule the ad hoc committee meeting, but since several council members will be out of town in the next couple of weeks, he'll wait and schedule it at the July 17th council meeting. Jim Miller inquired about changing to the environmental code to improve efficiency. Dennis Gilhausen reported the Finance Committee met to further discuss and finalize the 2025 budget, and a motion was made by Andrew Black and seconded by Jim Miller to approve appropriating Ordinance Number 13 as a whole. The motion carried. A motion was made by Dale Jacobson to adjourn, and the council meeting adjourned at 6:52 p.m. I'm Natalie Hadley. Your KQNK News was brought to you by Edward Jones Investments. Philip Eisenhagen is your financial advisor here in Norton. Your KQNK weather forecast for today, it should be sunny with a high near 85 and a north wind around 5 miles per hour. For tonight, it should be clear with a low around 59 and a northeast wind around 5 miles per hour becoming south after midnight. On Tuesday, it should be sunny with a high near 90. On Wednesday, sunny with a high near 93. On Thursday, sunny with a high near 94. On Friday, it should be sunny and hot with a high near 101. On Saturday, sunny and hot with a high near 102. And on Sunday, sunny and hot with a high near 103. Currently, with fair skies, it is 59 degrees. It is 720.